is the Sports Fever. If it's a sport, we cover it. And here are the hosts, Anthony Colasano, Dom DeRosa, Noah Gugliotta, also known as Googs, and Sean Johnson.
107.7 The Bronc, 107.7TheBronc.com. Proudly nominated for National Association of Broadcasters 2019 Marconi Award for Best College Radio Station of the Year. And live from the Rider University Studios, it's the Sports Fever. I'm your host, Andy Colasano. And alongside me today is Don DeRosa, No Gugliotta, or otherwise known as Googs.
Let's go.
And our special guest for this entire episode, Mr. Tommy Franks. Tommy.
What's going on, guys?
Tommy.
How you doing?
Not much. What's happening?
Doing pretty well. So Tommy Franks, fellow colleague of ours, you know, news director here at 107.7 The Bronc. And big avid sports fan. So yeah, we're excited to have him on and, you know, get this show rolling. So first order of business, topical news stories of the week. And I think the biggest one so far that came out a couple days ago was Blake Griffin's official buyout from the Detroit Pistons. He was really unhappy there when he got traded. They weren't in a winning mode at the time, and they still aren't a winning team right now. And, you know, he wants to win. Dom, you said right before we went on air that he's becoming a ring chaser now. And all the top teams are interested in him. The Lakers, the Clippers, the Nets, the Heat. I think the Celtics are as well. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'll start with you in terms of what do you think of his mentality and where do you think he'll end up?
All right. First of all, I get $5 because I said Sean was going to hop on the show today. So I'm a winner.
I did not take that bet.
So. No one took that bet.
I know. I'm kidding. No one took it. Sean, okay. We miss you. Second, okay, I heard the Nets have been interested and they're favored the biggest opportunity to get Blake Griffin. I don't know if I believe that for a hot second right now. I don't know how he'd fit with already the ball handling there is with Harden, Kyrie, and Durant. So I think Griffin's going to want the ball more like he did with the Clipper days, whether it's a pass or just him carrying it. That's today's game, sadly, for a big man. But I actually see him going to the Lakers. I think he's going to go back to L.A., just go to a yellow, purple and gold in Staples Center instead. He's going to go the Montrezl Harrell route. But, you know, I think he's going to be ring chasing. He's going to go to the Lakers to try and also get revenge on the Clippers. But it never worked out. So
revenge. Okay, I see that.
Now he talks smack on the organization. That's kind of why I say that.
Okay, and now, Ty, I want to go to your point about this. What do you think about, you know, guys, you know, wanting to buy out and just, you know, go get the ring? Do you like this and how it's happening more and more? Because, for example, it's happened with, you know, J.J. Watt. We've seen it with Sean Watson. We're now seeing it with Blake Griffin. Andre Drummond is rumored to get bought out or traded. So what's your thought on this whole sports culture now? It's like, it's either I want to win or I'm not playing.
Well, there's a lot more popularity to it. I remember back in the Heat days with LeBron, D Wade, and Chris Bosh. I remember that was one of the first times. If we want to go and look at ring chasers, that was the first example I saw in the past maybe 10 years of true ring chasers. And that kind of set a precedent for where we are now with what's going on with Blake Griffin. Is he going to stay healthy? What team is going to be able to afford him? That's the other bigger question. Are they going to want to take a cap hit for when he comes to that whatever team it is? Could he go to the Clippers? Could he go to the Lakers? It's all going to depend on the cap hit and how much it's going to cost to get Blake Griffin, in my opinion. But yeah, I could see him going to the Lakers totally. They're struggling right now a little bit, and they could use another guy like Blake Griffin.
I want to just add on to that. My only issue with Blake Griffin, if he goes to the Lakers, is he going to want to potentially do that if once Davis comes back? Because then Griffin's going to get knocked down to the bench. So if he really wants to win a ring, that's going to really show you that he is fine with going to the bench despite not getting, you know, that much value with Detroit. So that's going to be the biggest risk there. If he went to any other team, he's going to be a starting four like he should well-deservingly be. He's having a bad season. He's not been playing too much, but he's still a starting power forward in this game to where if he goes to the Lakers, the minute Davis comes back, he's on the bench in my eyes.
Exactly.
Well, yeah, because they have Davis, they have Montrezl Harrell, they have Marcus Gasol. So, I mean, it's a stacked, you know, forward position over there. And also Kyle Kuzma as well. I mean, I know Kyle Kuzma isn't the greatest, but, you know, he has some flashes here and there.
I think Kuzma would be so good if it wasn't for LeBron and AD. I think he's actually a really good player, but those two carry the squad. You know, yeah. I feel bad for the Kuzma slander. As much as I hate the Lakers, I think Kuzma's a beast.
Yeah. No. I want to go to you in terms of from a some sort of like a hockey perspective. I'm biased. Do you see this a lot in the NHL, or is it more of just a kind of a football basketball type scenario? Because we don't really see it a lot in baseball because those are really hard to do because those are like guaranteed a lot of money at stake. So not common. But in terms of hockey, do you see this often? Do you see it? Do you see it happening or no?
No, I mean, hockey's just, it's just such a different sport. The money that's involved in hockey is nowhere near what it is in baseball, basketball, exactly. And football. Mm-hmm. You know,
especially in the NBA.
Oh my God. And the thing is, like, I think it's a good point that you pointed out J.J. Watt, because I mean, we've seen it, but it's really been prevalent in basketball in the NBA. And I think we're starting to see it in basketball and football a lot and almost too much. It's like Blake Griffin is, I mean, obviously he's lost his edge, you know, his legs and everything, but he's 12.3 points per game. Like he's not a terrible option to have coming off the bench. And the interesting thing is, like, you guys mentioned the Lakers, he's actually not one of the players that the Lakers are looking for. It said that the Nets, Warriors, Heat, and Trailblazers are the ones that are among the teams looking for Griffin. So it should be interesting to see where he goes, and he's gonna have to help somebody. You know, he's still playing. He's 31 right. years old, so you know he's got to be an option for somebody. The NHL is just a completely different sport. I mean, the contracts that you're going to get per year, you know, are just nowhere near what they are. In fact, I think Connor McDavid signed a big contract for the NHL. It was like what, $10 million per year or like something like
that. Yes, you know? It was. Yep.
Which is normal in my eyes.
For a guy but that's the point. You're just in the NHL. You're just not going to get the money you're compared to the NBA and NFL. You're just not.
Is it revenue? Is it or is it?
It's just like they don't get the bigger sponsors out there. So like NHL is, you know, not getting those big time guys that are going to pay them a lot of money in order to distribute that to players. So they're not going to have big time names and sponsors like the NBA, the NFL, or even Major League Baseball. So that is a difference right there.
And the thing is like it does have to do with revenue. The big thing that the NHL has going for it is the TV deal. The TV deal with NBC is like really big for them, and that's what pulls them along. But the ratings that they're getting, it's just never been enough to get it to that next level. And it's still one of the four big sports, but it's kind of just chugging along as much as it can. It's like the little engine that could.
Yeah, I mean, why do you think they're doing so many outdoor games? They're doing like four or five a year. They're doing those for the sheer purpose of marketing the sport to people that want to get into it, maybe would be interested in the future. That's the main purpose for the outdoor games.
Yeah, you got to get them into the warmer states too, because you know the Panthers struggle to get fans in there, but the Lightning don't. It's very odd.
Good luck getting an outdoor game in Sunrise, by the way.
Yeah, of course, because
and you saw that happen. Yep. You saw what happened with the Golden Knights and the Avalanche in that game, and I mean that kind of thing was a disaster for them because you had this start time and you're thinking it's going to work and the ice conditions weren't good and you have to get it done. Yeah. Like I'm staying up late to watch the game. So it wasn't a great situation, but guess what? Those are the kind of things, like you said, Tommy, like those are going to attract people to watch. They're not really, and I wouldn't say they're like a gimmicky thing. I think they're a great game to watch. The beautiful scenery is, you know, it's something that can get people to watch. And I love it. It's a great idea. I do.
But I also think, you know, to kind of piggyback off that, I feel like, you know, what we're mainly talking about is like these sewer teams. I feel like almost maybe the leagues want this kind of habit because they know that more eyes might be glued to the TV they see that, you know?
Yeah.
So I feel like, you know, obviously like one team or like a couple teams in certain leagues are going to be really bad, but then also like the big market teams, like let's say Brooklyn gets him, which they are the favorite, and if they do get him, it's kind of like, all right, it is really now title or bust for the team. But it's almost like, all right, everyone's gonna be watching the games. I mean, the ratings for the Nets games have gone through the roof since this whole thing started this past season,
and that's what's making NBA so popular to where it's actually, I think, competing against football. I don't like today's NBA, but having these super teams and all is going to get eyes glued to the television screen. And with that becomes, you know, a lot more audience, more tickets sold once we go back to games post-COVID, everything like that. So, yeah, I think people were tired, especially of having, what, 4 years of Golden State and Cleveland?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, so now having a bunch of teams in the West and East that can compete, and we really actually don't know who can make it out of there because the Bucks choke every year and the Clippers can't do anything. We don't know who's going to be there. So it is going to be interesting to where, yeah, these super teams are you know, out there on multiple teams, but we don't have a true contending team out there. So
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be exciting to see who makes it because it's not a clear-cut fair. Like, everyone knew, okay, the Lakers are going to make it. No one thought the Heat was going to make it last year, but that was kind of like a special circumstance with the bubble and all that stuff. But yeah, but we got to take a quick break. Tommy Franks is with us in studio.
Yep.
When we come back, we're going to do our This Day in History. All that and more coming on the Sports Fever on 107.7 The Bronx and 107.7TheBronx.com.
And we're back with this edition of the Sports Fever. Let's send it back to our hosts now.
.com live from the Rider University Studios. It's the Sports Fever. I'm your host, Andy Colasano, and alongside me today is Don DeRosa. Sean Johnson, who decided to join us today. It's good to see you, Sean.
Yeah, I woke up, or not woke up, I'm sorry. I got out of the shower, and I was like, oh, do I really want to see these guys today? And I was like, why not?
Nope.
Why not?
And then he wants to see his one and only love, Don DeRosa, so that's right. Why he's here.
Oh, Sean.
Yeah, definitely.
Anthony said that, Dom's like, thanks, Sean.
Thanks, Sean. Am I right?
The sarcasm. And then obviously, Noah Gugata, or otherwise known as
Goose.
And then obviously, our special guest for this episode, Tommy Franks. So this segment, we're going to keep the train rolling with This Day in History. So on March 7th, 2016, Peyton Manning decided to hang up the jersey, the football, and retire from the NFL altogether. He went out as a champion as part of that 2016 Denver Broncos team, even though people say, and he kind of admits it, that he was carried by that ridiculous defense that they had for him. But nevertheless, he is one of the all-time great quarterbacks in league history, multiple-time MVP, two-time Super Bowl champion, a Super Bowl MVP, had the passing yards record, had the touchdown records before, obviously, you know, Breeze and Brady came in and obviously broke the records, obviously, because they were able to play longer and, you know, his body eventually kind of deteriorated. Obviously, we know right before he came to the Broncos, he was with the Colts and he had that really bad neck injury that kept him out for a whole year, was then led to his departure. And then he went to the Broncos, played really well, and then ultimately retired. But, you know, Tom, since you're the guest, I'll start with you. What is your fondest memory of watching Peyton Manning in the National Football League?
Ooh, where do I start? No, I mean, obviously, the best memories are obviously from Indianapolis, going back to when I was younger, getting into football. Peyton Manning, well, unfortunately, my first memory of Peyton Manning was starting to watch football was the Super Bowl between the Colts and the Saints. Back, what year was that?
That was the 2010 season.
Yeah, that was the year of the onside kick to start the half in that Super Bowl. But yeah, that was my first memory of Peyton Manning. The guy is, without a doubt, one of the best quarterbacks of all time. You know, not much to say about that. I do have a Colts jersey. Actually, Noah decided to put on a Broncos Peyton Manning jersey for this one. I do have one at old Colts jersey at home, but because when I was younger, I bought one for the Super Bowl. But yeah, I mean, Peyton Manning's a great player. You know, one of the best of all time, without a doubt. So,
Sean, what are your thoughts on the GOAT himself, Mr. Peyton Manning?
You want my thoughts or you want my favorite moment?
Give me both.
All right. So, one of my favorite moments watching him is probably his last MVP season. I had that man in fantasy, and he won me fantasy by himself, pretty much. He was just that good. I mean, he was breaking records left and right that season.
Mm-hmm.
So fun to watch him. I forgot what year that
2013.
was. 2013. Yeah, I was in eighth grade. Yeah, that sounds right. Yeah, so that was definitely fun to watch. And my thoughts on him. I mean, he's one of the best quarterbacks of all time, in my opinion. He's got a lot of the accolades to prove it. He's got records to prove it. Watching him in that one Super Bowl though against the Seahawks, that was pretty rough.
Yeah, and, that was pretty rough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The first place safety. Oh, that's
I think everybody knew when that happened it was gonna be a really rough game for the Broncos.
Yeah. And then I mean his last Super Bowl he won was kinda in the hands of the defense, but who cares? He's still goated.
Yeah. Noah, you're repping the Broncos jersey. So let me ask you this. You a fan of Broncos Peyton or Colts Peyton?
You know, it's one of those things. It's just when I kind of was more into football, and I got more and more into football when it was him with the Broncos. But as Tommy said, I mean, him with the Colts, it's such a staple. But, you know, you don't usually see players go to different teams and feast. And really those, what was it, 2 or 3 years with the Broncos, you know, obviously before the championship season, he individually was just so much fun to watch, you know. And that one season where I think they played the Ravens in, like, the divisional round or something, and that was just such a heartbreaking one to watch. And then obviously, like Sean said, That Super Bowl against the Seahawks, I mean, is just one of the worst times watching a game I've ever had. I was rooting so hard for the Broncos, ready to go, and it was just right from the beginning, as Sean said, it was just brutal. But I always loved Peyton. I loved how he commanded the being a quarterback. I love how he stood. He had a very, like, wide stance in the pocket. Like, he was, you know, I just loved everything about him. I really did. I was such a big fan. And when they faced the Panthers in the Super Bowl, I wore this exact jersey and Super Bowl 50. It was a really good moment because, like, I don't have anything to root for. You know, like, the Jets stink. The Rangers at that time were making runs to the Stanley Cup. They'd fall apart at the end. Their Yankees.
That was the lull period.
Yeah, and then exactly. And then this is, like, I had to root for something. I'm not a bandwagon. I just rooted for them for that game. But he was one of my he's probably my favorite player aside from any Jet or any, you know, he's probably my favorite. Mm-hmm. I love him.
And you know, going to you, the Broncos, the Raiders, they're playing the AFC West.
Stop it.
So you guys had to face them a good amount of times.
Stop. Okay. I know my Raiders suck. Okay, I'll be honest, though. I don't really have a favorite memory because I came into football late, and I'm not even that big of a fan of football because my Raiders stink. So I'll just kind of watch the whole league itself, rather. But I never hated Manning. I actually think if it wasn't for Brady's just recent Super Bowl, Manning would be considered the best of all time. But now with that happening, there's debate. But Manning had one hell of a career. I think he was great with both the Colts and the Broncos, and I watched him like Noah, more with Denver. That's when I started getting into it, and I was rooting for them. That was a tough one against the Seahawks, too. And you're right, Anthony, right when that safety happened on, like, the first play, that I knew that was it. I was like, oh, man. Manning was fun to watch, and he was one really tough player, too. So, just because I grew up watching him more with the Broncos, I'll go saying that I liked him more with the Orange Crush.
Okay, yeah. I mean, that's fair. I feel like because when he was, because we gotta remember, he was drafted in 1998.
Mm-hmm.
We were all exactly. Like, born. We were just born, and you guys were
99,
not even alive yet. 99, so,
yep.
So we didn't get to really enjoy the glory because, you know, if we really look at it, you know, his MVPs, he went back to back in 03, 04, then he did it again in 08, 09, and then again, his last one was in 2013. Business, everything in. In every award you can think of in football, MVP, Super Bowl MVP, Super Bowl, Comeback Player of the Year, the Walter Payton Manning, Man of the Year in 05, first team All Pro Bowl 7 times, second team 3 times, 14 time All Star, passing leader 3 times. So he's got everything. So I feel like for me, it's Brady number one. That's kind of a lock. It's game over. Yep. There's no, you can't debate it. Anyone who debates it's an idiot. And I'll put him at number two just because of his. his play pedigree, and also I feel like his marketability outside the game endorsements is just remarkable with the Nationwide commercials. Remember he had a big deal with Sony and Oreo back in the day with his brother. Yeah. Those were big hits. Now he's got Peyton's Place, which is a massive hit on ESPN Plus right now. So I feel like he's really, you know, he's branding himself. I remember he was really trying to, there were rumors swirling a couple months ago about him going to NBC. They wanted him there. They want, I think, to do like some sort of trade in broadcasting. Like that's weird to say, but it's going to happen. I think it was going to be like, I don't know who's going to be, but they're trying to get him over there. And I think Chris Collinsworth or one of the guys is going to go to ESPN, but I don't think that was ever going to happen. But that would have been awesome to see if Peyton Manning got to Sunday night prime time. I feel like that would have been cool. It would have brought in a whole new generation of fans into the game, because Al Michaels and Chris Collinsworth, they're good guys, but they've been in it for so long. We want change. We want someone new. We want someone fresh, because you want to cater to the younger audience, because the older generation is just getting older and older and older, and therefore ratings are in more ways than one kind of suffering a little bit. So having him at the helm of the biggest spot on NFL television would have been great, but obviously that hasn't happened yet. Hopefully that does soon, because if Peyton Manning goes to NBC, and obviously the rumor that Drew Brees goes to ESPN, I think for Monday Night Football, I feel like that would really build the league well, both from a viewership standpoint, in terms of getting fans to watch the game, because I know Monday Night Football is a real struggle for them. No one really likes to watch it. They've always had trouble getting certain the right crew. So hopefully, if Drew Brees retires and when he does officially make that announcement, we'll report and we'll talk about it. That'll be a huge thing for ESPN. But this was about Peyton Manning, all-time great. He's getting inducted in Canton, Ohio, this year. I believe in a couple months. He was well deserved. Everyone knew he was going to get in to the Hall of Fame. So that is our This Day in History, just talking about Peyton Manning, his illustrious career in the National Football League. But we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about our game of the week, which is happening tonight. The NBA All-Star Game happens tonight. Instead of 3 days, it's one day with everything happening. Skills Challenge, three-point contest, the dunk contest, and the game itself all happening tonight on TNT. We'll talk about that only on the Sports Fever on 107.7 The Bronx and 107.7TheBronx.com.
And we're back with this edition of the Sports Fever. Let's send it back to our hosts now.
107.7 The Bronx, 107.7TheBronx.com, live from the Ryan University Studios. It's the Sports Fever. I'm your host, Andy Colasano. And alongside me today is Don DeRosa, Sean Johnson, Noah Gugliotta, or otherwise known as Googs. And our special guest for this week, Tommy Franks.
Tommy.
This segment, we're looking towards the game of the week. And, it happens to fall on the day that, you're hearing this show, and that is the NBA All-Star weekend, not game, weekend, because obviously due to COVID and everything going on, everything is happening in one day instead of a three-day stretch. So Sunday on TNT, the Skills Challenge, three-point contest, the dunk contest, and the game itself will all be happening. It's going to be an exciting day. It'll be interesting, because this might be something that they do from here on out. If it does go well, we'll wait and see. But we'll start off with talking about kind of the skills challenge and stuff like that. So obviously it's kind of this thing, the challenge where, players are showcasing their skills, and it's not always just, the guards and the forwards, the big men, get into it as well. Cause some of them are pretty athletic, they're not these big guys that all they can do is like go in the paint. Nowadays it's more like, they can spread the floor, shoot the three. Some of them have some dribble game. So it's good to see. So the participants are Robert Covington, Luka Doncic, Chris Paul, Julius Randle, Domantas Sabonis, and Nikola Vucevic.
That's so weird.
So Dom, I'll start with you.
Ah, cool.
Out of all those guys, who do you think will be the winner in your eyes?
For skills challenge, correct?
Yes.
CP3.
CP3.
Yeah, I'm going CP3.
Okay.
He's obviously, I know he's the smallest guy on that list, but he's the best one when it comes to the most accurate passes and the best dribbling handles. And I know big men can do it now, which is interesting. But no, I'm going CP3 without a doubt.
What about you, Tommy?
I'm gonna have to agree. I do think it's gonna. It's hard to predict, you know, because like you said, they're all falling on one day. So I don't know how many guys are gonna take this really seriously and.
That is true.
And be more conservative in the skills challenge because, you know, a guy like Curry taking 3-point shots, we're probably not going to see him going all out in the 3-pointers, rushing his shots and stuff like that. I think a lot of these guys are going to be more conservative in their approach to the skills challenge. You're going to see a lot of guys do that for sure, considering it's all falling on one day. And not to mention there's going to be, what, 320 points scored in this game anyway?
Yeah.
More than likely. So I think they want to save their best for the game. But yeah, you know, are we talking about overall for the skills challenge?
Yeah, yeah, like, who's going to win, like, just the skills challenge?
Ooh, that's hard. If I had to, probably Curry on the 3-pointers, if I had to guess.
Yeah, Curry. Oh, we're not there. Talking about the skills challenge itself.
Oh, you're talking about the, okay. Yeah, I'm going to agree with Dom then, probably CP3 for sure.
CP3.
I like him on the Suns. I like him in the skills challenge. Mm-hmm.
I am going to go with New York Knicks forward Julius Randle on this one.
Showing a little love to Sean Boy over
there.
I'm
going to go with Julius Randle. I feel like this man can do everything. You know, and I'm gonna pick a little dark horse. I feel like, you know, he's kind of like in the middle. Like, people will pick him, but also feel like he'll be an underdog. So that's my pick. I know, Sean, that's likely your pick. Please tell me it is.
All right. So, listen, I love Julius Randle and everything, but, like, just looking at the lineup that he's going up against, I think he's going to win. I think he's going to win.
Yes!
No way he doesn't.
Let's go, Sean.
Come on, let's go.
Julius, I just want to say,
getting that skills challenge done.
Sean's correct because I picked the Knicks last week and the under, and it both came through. And I came up with a great nickname for Julius Randle: Orange Julius. Look it up, Orange Julius.
Orange Julius is one of
orange,
the.
Orange. I don't know what it is. It's a drink, I think.
It's a Dairy Queen dessert.
There you go. And that's what Julius Randle is, a freaking dessert. I don't know what the hell's going on. Orange Julius winning the skills competition.
So you have Julius Randle as well, Noah?
Yeah.
Okay.
Orange
on the Peyton Manning.
He's still wearing that jersey.
Yeah, he's still repping.
I'll go with Sean into battle. You ever see Lord of the Rings? Into battle.
All right, well... they'll be a tag team, that's for sure. So now, obviously, the 3-point contest. Obviously, this is after the skills challenge, so it's going to be Mike Conley, who is replacing Devin Booker, because apparently Devin Booker has a knee injury, so Mike Conley's replacing him.
Yeah.
Jaylen Brown, Stephen Curry, Zach LaVine, Donovan Mitchell, and Jason Tatum. Now, Tom, we already know who you're going with, Stephen Curry.
I said Steph, yeah, and I agree. I'm going to stick with that. You know, just a quick side note, I'm not understanding how, and I know it's all fan voting, I know that part, but why are we getting guys like Jason Tatum and Brown in this 3-point contest? That amazes me. You know, overall maybe not too bad, but over the past couple weeks, watching the Celtics shoot from the 3-point line has been horrendous.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Safe to say.
That's why they're struggling so bad. That's why they're out of the playoffs right now. If the season were to end today, they'd either be out of the playoffs or be fighting for the last.
Oh, they'll finish out, I think. They're not gonna get in, in my opinion.
Well, we'll have to wait and see. We got a whole second half.
Oh, yeah. True, for sure.
Sean, I'll go to you this one. 3-point contest. Who do you like?
It's definitely a tough one. There's a lot of good 3-point shooters there. I'm going to go with a little bit of a dark horse again. That's kind of my specialty. I'm going to go with Zach LaVine.
Ooh, okay. Okay.
Okay, I guess
that. I had LaVine too, boys.
You have LaVine too.
Yeah. He's a good 3-point shooter as well.
All right, so Dom has LaVine, Sean has LaVine, Tommy has Curry, Noah.
Are you able to bet on this?
I believe you can.
You can.
I'm gonna go with an even bigger dark horse because there's no way he's gonna win, but I'm gonna bet on him. Mike Conley, baby.
Hey, save your locks for the end. Save your locks for the end.
That's right. I did the locks last week.
Yeah, but I don't think this is like a lock. This is kind of like...
No.
This is like a bet on it and
get me into it and then watch it on Sunday or tonight. And, you know, there you go. That's what I'm going to do. All that's right. my lock. But don't, we're not going to do the, that's not my lock for the segment.
So
somebody else has to come up with
it. So for the 3-point contest, I just grabbed the odds from FanDuel. Zach LaVine is a plus 450, Curry plus 140. Brown and Tatum are both plus 700s. Donovan Mitchell plus 550. Mike Conley 500.
Oh baby, let's okay.
So right. both you guys on Levine, you can make some money.
And for me, I feel like if he does well in this, he'll get out of his massive slump. On my fantasy team, I'm gonna go with Jason Tatum. I feel like if he gets going, because I know they're struggling, but he's streaking it. When he gets hot. He gets hot.
Exactly.
So if he gets it going, I think he'll win. So I'm going Jason Tatum on a 3-point contest. The dunk contest, I mean, besides Obi Toppin, these two guys are a bunch of nobodies.
I'm ready to fall asleep.
Bunch
just
of scrubs.
Please say it again.
Anfernee Simons from the Portland Trailblazers. I don't know who the heck this man is.
Cases,
who? yeah, who exactly? Cases Stanley from the Indiana Pacers, and obviously the Knicks rookie Obi Toppin. You know, I mean, I gotta go with Obi Toppin on this one. I think he's gonna win. I don't know any of these guys.
You
know,
wait, where's Giannis? Did he back out or what happened?
I don't think he's doing it.
He should be in this competition without a doubt.
I don't know. I can care less, honestly. You know what? I'm just gonna, because I don't even remember their names, Anthony. I'm just gonna say not Obi Toppin, because I think some guy is gonna make a name for himself, like Derrick Jones Jr., and only be known for dunking, and that's it.
Yep.
It's going to be one of those two.
Yep, I agree. I think it's going to be one of those things where they come out of nowhere and just shock the world.
And then their name's really out there. Then they're going to get a big contract, sign a 3-year, $30 million deal, and then they're going to be a dunker that scores 6 points
well, keep in mind. Well, keep in mind, like, I know we're talking about basketball, but Anthony, you can attest to this because we're both huge Yankee fans. You know, when we
and
look
Noah.
At... And Noah, sorry. And when we look at skills competitions in the All-Star games in particular... If one player goes off and wins the whole thing, they could be struggling for the rest of the year after that. I remember in 2017, Aaron Judge hitting 50 home runs that season. But after that derby, he won the derby that year.
His swing changed.
His swing changed and he struggled. So that's one thing to look at. Like when you look at the future of these players, when they win competitions like this, especially the 3-point contest, that plays a factor for sure.
See where their trajectory goes. Yeah,
exactly.
Definitely. That's a good point.
Yeah. Sean, who do you like? Are you going with your man Toppin? Are you going with one of the nobodies?
I got to go with Toppin, but I think you guys are kind of overlooking the other two. Anfernee Simons, I've watched a lot of Trailblazers games this season because I had Damian Lillard. I traded him like a week ago, but in fantasy. Yeah, but... While CJ McCollum has been out, Anfernee Simons has been his backup, and he's been pretty good. I think he's very underrated, not talked about a lot. The thing is, I've never seen this man dunk, and I've watched a lot of Portland games. I mean, he's a great shooter, but like when I saw that he was in the dunk contest, I was like, what are you talking about? Because again, like never seen the hops on this man. I've never seen him touch the rim once. I've never seen him dunk. I'm always seeing him shooting threes, you know, getting his jump shot in. So that game is a huge surprise to me. And I don't really know much about the other guys. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I'm going to go with Obi Toppin just because I've known nothing about these other guys. And I just hope the dunk contest is somewhat good. But based on the names I see and based on what you told me about Simons being a shooter, I don't think this is going to be a great dunk contest. That's just me. But looking ahead to the main event, obviously the All-Star game, Team LeBron versus Team Durant. Obviously, Kevin Durant, unfortunately, is not playing in this game due to recovering from a hamstring injury. So he was replaced. He, however, did vote for his team on, I believe it was Wednesday night. And these are the teams. Team LeBron is obviously LeBron James, Giannis, Steph Curry, Luka Doncic, Nikola Jokic, Damian Lillard, Ben Simmons, Chris Paul, Jalen Brown, Paul George, Domantas Sabonis, and Rudy Gobert. And Kevin Durant, even though he's injured, this is his team. Kyrie Irving, Joel Embiid, Kawhi Leonard, Bradley Beal, Tatum, Harden, Mike Conley, who will be replacing Devin Booker, Zion, Zach LaVine, Julius Randle, Nikola Vucevic, and Donovan Mitchell. Now, after this was announced, the you know, people were saying that Team LeBron's team just looked like it was going to steamroll Team Durant. Do you guys think that's the case, or do you feel like this will be a closer match than people anticipate?
Yes, it should be closer. I saw Team LeBron's the heavy favorite, and when you wrote off the rosters, I said I was about to say who's going to beat Team LeBron because I heard those names. There's a lot of streaky guys on the Team Durant side, but this is the All-Star game. Defenses don't try.
Yeah,
it's not, you know. It's, if this were a serious game, I'd love to see how it play out. But it's the All-Star game. It's always going to be close.
They should do it like MLB, to where you actually, like, the winning team, like, not like home field in the World Series, but like get like a car or something. They should actually have to like try and get an award if they win, you know? I feel like that would make it a little more
like some enticing. Sort of serious, some sort of like incentive, like if you win, like everyone gets like a bonus or something like that.
Yeah, so like to where defenses can actually play.
Well, I mean, I know the incentive is, I think it is like whoever they wins, like a certain donation gets donated to the charity of the captain's choices.
Right. I just know the All-Star game is the most overhyped thing out there in sports today. Because in my opinion, I think so. But I'm actually going to go Team Durant.
Okay.
I think that it's not like it matters, but I think that their depth is really capable of going against LeBron's. I like LeBron's starting lineup, but I don't like their bench as much as they like Durant, basically. Isn't it Tatum taking over now, you said, for Team Durant? So basically Tatum's bench. So I don't know. Tatum and their starters, I don't think are as good as LeBron's, but LeBron's bench, I don't think is as good as Tatum's. So I'm going to just go Team Tatum. I just think they're a more complete team going into this.
Sean, what do you like?
I definitely like Team LeBron much better than I like Team Durant, Team Tatum, whatever you want to call it. Team LeBron like never loses All-Star games, so you know it's gonna be fun to watch that. I mean, I would love to root. I am gonna root for Team Durant because Randall's on it. But yeah, besides looking at the rosters, I don't think Team LeBron's gonna win or lose. I'm sorry, I don't think they're gonna lose.
Noah, Durant, LeBron.
You got it. I in sixth grade I qualified for the All-Star our team and we were not favored. You know, the odds weren't in our favor. You know who won? We did. Durant's team is going to win.
Woo!
There you go.
All right.
No logic at all, but that's what's happening.
He's picking with his heart. And I'm going
to mark it down.
Mark it down. And I'm going to pick Team Durant just because, obviously, Durant, you know, Brooklyn Nets, Kyrie Irving, Harden, you know, Brooklyn. You know, I got to root for my guys. And also, you know, it's more of a Northeast team. A lot of the players are from, like, the East Coast. You know, Tatum, you know, Brown, yep. Beal, Randall, Vucevic. So, you know, it's an East Coast team. So, it's from the East Coast. You know, you got to root for Durant. So, those are our picks. And that'll be, you know, what we'll look forward to in this All-Star game. So, be sure to tune into that. All starting at 6:30 on TNT this Sunday. And yeah, so when we come back, we're going to wrap it up with our final segment, which will be our locks of the day. Obviously, Tommy Franks is with us, so he's going to give us a couple locks, if that's okay. You got a couple?
For hockey? Yeah, possibly.
All right. And then obviously, we'll see if Noah has something as well. All that and more is coming up on the final segment of the Sports Fever on 107.7 The Bronx and 107.7thebronx.com.
And we're back with this edition of the Sports Fever. Let's send it back to our hosts now.
.com Live from the Ryan University Studios, it's the Sports Fever. I'm your host, Andy Colasano. And alongside me today is Dom DeRosa, Sean Johnson, Noah Gugliotta, or otherwise known as Googs. And obviously our special guest for this episode, Mr. Tommy Franks.
Welcome.
Final segment, it's our lock of the day. Noah came up big yet last week. He had the Knicks money line and the Knicks to go under, and they just went under by a point.
1 point, baby. Orange Julius came up big. Big time win for the Knicks. Sean was rooting. It was awesome. Awesome.
It was brutal.
It was brutal, but it was hard to watch, but we did it.
Made some money. Obviously, Noah, unfortunately, doesn't have a lock for us this week, but Tommy Franks is with us. Tommy's got some locks.
So, one for hockey, Lightning and Blackhawks. The Lightning just lost on Friday night. It was not a pretty loss. They had a 2-0 lead going into the second period. They ended up losing in a shootout. The backup goalie for the Blackhawks, Malcolm Subban, played fantastic. Lightning are too expensive on the money line. Take the cover. It's plus money. I think it's plus 130 right now. Take the puck line minus 1.5, Tampa Bay Lightning, as well as college basketball. Michigan and Michigan State. Currently right now, Michigan is 11-point favorite. Michigan is looking really good, especially after, I think, what was it, the Ohio State game. They are going to cover this 11-point spread. So two locks.
You said Michigan?
Michigan and Michigan State.
Who's covering the spread?
Michigan.
Michigan.
11-point favorite.
Ooh. Really? Michigan State struggling that bad?
I guess so. That, yeah, 11-point favorite for currently for Michigan. That line could change.
Wow. Okay.
So
wow.
I'm assuming I'm riding with the public on this one by going Michigan, but.
Yeah. And I know, you know, this isn't a lot, but this is just for fun. If you're looking to bet on the All-Star game, you know, I know entering the when it was all announced and all set ready to go, the favorites was LeBron at -3.5. You know, for me, I would have picked Durant, even though they're the dog. I feel like they were +3.5 at the time. If I were to check right now and see where they are at, it is still -3.5 for LeBron, +3.5 for Durant. Yeah. These games are always really close.
Mm-hmm.
They're never blowouts. You know, even though they look like blowouts in the beginning, when it gets closer to the fourth quarter, they really start to actually play like serious competitive basketball, because at the end of the day, they want that pride and joy of winning. So if you're looking for I would call it a mini lock, I would take Durant's team at +3.5. And obviously, I would go the over at 310 right now. But yeah.
I got a quick lock here.
All right, let's go, Sean.
Last year, this is also to do with the All-Star game. And I know I'm going to contradict myself here, because before I said I thought Team LeBron was going to win. But last year, I actually predicted the All-Star MVP. I said that Kawhi Leonard would get it. Everyone called me stupid because he wasn't one of the captains. And I was like, it doesn't matter. He's still going to win it. And he won it. Should have bet that. But of course, I couldn't at the time. All right. So I think this year's All-Star MVP is going to be Kyrie Irving.
He's at +1,200 right now.
Has he gotten one yet?
I don't think so. No, I think he has. I think he has. Yeah, no, I think he has. I'll look it up. But he does. I think he has an MVP under his belt.
Honestly, that's a great bet.
I will double check this right now, but I do believe he won the 2014. He won it.
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be surprised. Well, that's a great bet for Kyrie to win the MVP.
He's one of those guys where if he's on, he's hitting every single shot.
Like, exactly.
Yeah, I've seen it. It's utterly ridiculous when this man gets going. And sometimes some of the passes he makes, I'm just like. So that's why, like, I can't hate him sometimes, even though he grinds my gears as a Nets fan. Like, he does that, I'm just like, I can't hate him.
The way he performed against the Clippers in Brooklyn, what was that, like a few weeks ago? It was incredible.
Yeah.
He didn't miss. Nothing.
No, he didn't miss. Yeah, it's astonishing to watch him play night in and night out when he's on the floor and actually competent, you know? Sometimes he just wants to do things his certain way. He just wants to do Kyrie things. I'm just like, no, don't. But yeah, he's at +1,200. Damian Lillard is at 1,600. Kawhi Leonard, the reigning MVP, he's at +1,600 as well. You know, it'll be interesting. Giannis and LeBron are the favorites. They're at +600. So no matter what, if you hit it, you're going to make some serious money. So.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
So, yeah. But that's going to do it for this edition of the Sports Fever. We thank Tommy Franks for joining us for this hour.
Thank you, guys.
It was great having you.
Thank you.
Be sure to follow us on our all social media platforms, Instagram, @thesports_fever, our new Twitter handle, @thesportsfever1. You can also give us an email at thesportsfever@gmail.com. This is going to do it for this week's edition. Be sure to tune in next week at 12 o'clock on 107.7 The Bronx and 107.7thebronx.com.
Thank you for listening to this edition of The Sports Fever. Be sure to subscribe to our channel and be on the lookout for new episodes Sundays from 12 to 1 on 107.7 The Bronx and also on every podcasting platform you can think of.